It's impossible to name everything, but I would suggest there's three general responsibilities that every dad has in his family. He is a provider. He provides for his family needs. He makes sure that he is taking care of those who depend upon them, often putting their needs in front of his own. He protects his family from harm, no matter what the cost might be to himself. He wants to make sure that everything is okay where the family is concerned. And he is to fill the role of primary spiritual leader, both teaching them the way to go and showing them the way to go. That's a God-assigned role, because the Lord has always placed great responsibilities on the shoulders of fathers. Before God's people ever entered the promised land, the Lord gave them strong directions in Deuteronomy 6:6-7, where he said, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your hearts. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." Later, when the conquest was finished, Joshua reminded those men who led their families of a stark decision that they had to make. He said, Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Jesus taught his followers to pray to God as our heavenly Father. He used the story of the prodigal son to reveal the depth of a father's love for his children. And Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, "And as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory." As you can see, God has given men a great responsibility. It's throughout the scriptures. I've given you some examples, but just a few examples, because throughout scripture, one of the things you discover is God says to fathers, to men, "Men, lead your families. Show the way. It is up to you to go first and prepare things for your family as they follow behind." And throughout the Bible, we find examples of men who dealt with that challenge to fatherhood. We see portraits of men who were great fathers and great leaders for their families. Unfortunately, we also see pictures of men who neglected that responsibility, who abdicated that responsibility, and the damage that was done because they refused to be the men God called them to be. But I'm so grateful that the Bible gives us pictures of men who are faithful, loving, guiding fathers. And this morning, I want to invite you to join me, and we're going to look at a great example of a man who led his family. We don't know anything about his name. We don't know any personal details about him. But what we do know is more than enough. In fact, this is a man that maybe you've never heard a Father's Day message about. I don't know that I have either, but when you read, as we read scripture together, and time after time, it says something along the lines of, "and his household," you recognize here's a guy who is an example of a great father. And this morning, I want to challenge you as we look together at the example of the Philippian jailer and discover some things about how God wants men to lead their families. So let's jump in and let's discover what the Bible has to say to us. The first thing you discover is this: the Philippian jailer was a man who took care of his family. When I think about this man, I think about a man who was a simple working man. He was just like most of the people you see day in and day out. The truth is, if you passed him on the streets of Philippi, you probably wouldn't stop to turn around and look at him as he walked by, because he was just an ordinary kind of person. He was like a lot of people. He had a steady job that allowed him to provide for his family. And his family was always on his mind. That's one of the things we see in the book of Acts. Every day he got up and he went to work and he took care of his responsibilities because he had a family that was depending on him. You know, when you think about this man, I sincerely doubt if when he was a young person, He had an ambition. Someday I want to be a jailer. Someday I want to run a Roman prison. That probably wasn't on his mind when he was young growing up, but it became a job that provided for his family. It gave a steady income, and he was allowed to take care of his wife and his children, and that's what really mattered to him. So every night he got up and worked the night shift so he could take care of his kids. The more you think about the Philippian jailer, the more you think, this is probably the kind of man who would have coached his son's baseball team. He was probably one of those men who did his very best to make sure if his daughter was in a school program, he was able to be there and to encourage her and cheer her on. We also know this, he was very responsible where his work was concerned. The Bible says when the authorities brought Paul and Silas to the prison, that this jailer received a charge to keep them securely. That is not an accidental phrase. When you receive a charge, that means someone has signed over responsibility to you, and you have promised that you will fulfill that obligation. It meant he formally took responsibility for keeping them securely in prison. Basically, what happened was, the Roman authorities brought these men, Paul and Silas, to the prison, and they said to him, these are important prisoners, and we don't want them to anything to happen. We can't afford for them to get away, so we're asking you, are you willing to keep a charge where these men are concerned? Recognizing if you keep a charge, what you are promising is, I will do everything in my power to make sure they stay secure. So he took that responsibility. He took it so seriously that the Bible says this. He carried Paul and Silas to the deepest part of the prison to make sure they could not escape. And when they arrived there, he put their feet in stocks so that there was no possibility that somehow he would fail in his responsibilities. He was committed to fulfill the assignment he had accepted. When I think about this man, what I think about is commitment. Here's a man who had a commitment. He had a commitment to his work, but more than that, he had a commitment to his family. And everything he did, the motive behind it was, I want to make sure that my family is okay. I want to take good care of my children. I want to take good care of my wife. I want to provide for them. Commitment. That's a powerful phrase where fathers are concerned. That's one of the challenges that the Lord places before us, is that we become men of commitment. One thing about being a father is this. You cannot decide, well, I'll be a father on Tuesdays and Thursdays, but the rest of the week, I want that for myself. You cannot say, well, I'll provide for my family a little bit, but I want to keep most of it so that I can have what I need. Instead, you recognize that with fatherhood comes commitment. I'll never forget when our son Jamie was born. The nurse took this little package and turned around to me and said, do you want to hold your new son? And I looked at her and I said, ma'am, I have never held anything that small in my life. You know what she said? She said, well, have you ever held a football? Pomp! And there he was. But this is what I remember, y'all. I remember looking at that little newborn boy and very deliberately thinking to myself, well, it's not about me anymore. There is somebody depending on me who cannot do anything for himself. Commitment. That's when you look at your family and you recognize the reason I have my family is because the Lord has given them to me. And I have the responsibility of taking care of them and teaching them and guiding them and protecting them. And that's my job. It was for that man, and it is for you, and it is for me. commitment. It's a requirement of being the kind of father God has called you to be. So here's this jailer, and he's taking care of his commitments. He's making sure that he's fulfilled his responsibilities at work. He's making sure that he's taking care of his family at home. And he got everything settled down for the night, but then two unheard of things took place that night. The first thing caught his attention as things began to settle down, as it all got quiet as the evening went on. When he went back to check on the prisoners, he heard sounds that had never been heard in that jail. Those two prisoners, Paul and Silas, the Bible says they were lifting up prayers and singing songs to God. Not only that, the amazing thing is, the other prisoners, instead of trying to make them be quiet and trying to telling them, shut up and let me sleep and be quiet and stop that racket, they were all sitting around them. And they were listening to what they were singing and saying. You have to believe that this jailer stood unseen by the prisoners and listened to what was taking place. I've never heard anything like this in my life. What in the world is going on in there? How can they talk this way? This jailer was used to hearing moans and cries and curses. And instead, these men are talking about Jesus and how he can forgive sins and change lives and give hope. He listened to what Paul was sharing with the other prisoners, then he shook his head and he returned to his office. Before long, he'd fallen asleep. And sometime in the depth of the night, something jolted him out of his sleep. An earthquake shook the prison. Understand, when the Bible says an earthquake, it doesn't say things rattled a little bit. It says it shook the very foundations of the jail. This was a major quake. And not only that, but the Bible says during that quake, all of the chains fell away. And all of the cells burst open, and the people in jail were free. And in the middle of all of that chaos, the jailer displayed the true heart of a father, because this is what took place. The Bible says when he saw what had happened, he assumed that the prisoners had escaped, especially Paul and Silas, and he had sworn to guard them. And his response was almost immediate. He drew his own sword and prepared to make an ultimate sacrifice. The prisoners are gone. I'll take my own life. Now, why would he do that? Because he had sworn an oath that he would not allow Paul and Silas to escape. And the Roman authorities took that pledge very seriously. So seriously that the penalty for failure was death. Execution was in his future. The jailer understood the penalty he was going to have to pay. But he also knew this. In the midst of the confusion of all of this earthquake, if I wanted to, I could slip out and get away and probably nobody would ever catch me. But he also knew this. If he ran away, the government would simply transfer that punishment to his family. If he disappeared, then his wife and his children would be executed in his place. And he chose to take personal responsibility so that his family would be secure. I'll step forward and I'll do whatever I have to do to take care of my family. That's the heart of a father. Responsibility is a father's driving motive where his family is concerned. In fact, I imagine that as that man prepared to do what he had to do, he must have stopped for a moment and thought about his family and probably even felt a sense of gratitude that I can do this and they'll be spared. That's the heart of a father, isn't it? That sense of great responsibility. I will do what I have to do to protect the ones I love. I will pay whatever price I have to pay in order to take care of my family. Dad, you understand that because you feel that way about your own family. If somebody had to get between your family and someone who wanted to cause them harm, you would step forward without a moment's hesitation. I don't think that there's a dad in the room who would look around, and maybe he has three or four children, and say, well, you know what, we can do without number two. I'll just push him forward. And they can have him. Instead, you would say, no, me. I'm responsible. I will pay the price. I will do whatever I have to do, and I will take care of my family. And that's exactly the way this man felt. I will take responsibility. There may be no greater challenge that the Lord places before any of us than simply to do that. Take responsibility for your family. Do whatever you have to do. God calls us to that. God calls us to live a deep, responsible lifestyle, even when it hurts, even when it costs, even when you may have to pay the greatest price of all. You'll do it because you love your family that much. So this man was stepping forward. He was about to step up. He was going to take responsibility, even though it meant an ultimate sacrifice. But before he could act, he heard the voice of Paul emerging from the depths of the prison. Do yourself no harm. We're all here. They could have escaped, but they remained where they were. Who would make that kind of choice? The jailer asked himself. And why should they prevent somebody like me from doing what I was about to do? Why did Paul even shout out, don't hurt yourself? Something's going on here that I've never seen before. And I need to know what it is. And then he remembered the things he'd heard Paul say earlier that night. He remembered the prayers that had been prayed, the songs that had been sung. And he realized, this is real. This is all real. This is not what two men were making up in the midst of the darkness. This is ultimate reality. And he realized that he needed what belonged to Paul and Silas. He couldn't make his way to Paul and Silas fast enough. And when he found them, there was only one compelling question on his mind. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? What must I do so that I can have what you have, so I can believe the way you believe, so I can love the way you love, so that I can have compassion the way you have compassion? What do I have to do to be saved? And they answered him immediately and firmly, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. Believe on Jesus and you can open the door for your family to know God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you become the spiritual leader that they desperately need. His household, his family. He realized something that all of us understand. He didn't want to be saved alone. He wanted his family to know the Lord. He wanted them to know Jesus just the way he wanted to know Jesus himself. What father would say to himself, I really don't care what happens to my family as long as I'm the one that gets to go to heaven. I really don't care what happens to my family as long as I have a living relationship with Jesus. I don't really care about them. I only care about me. No father would say that. No father would say, as long as I'm okay, it really doesn't matter what happens to everybody else. Instead, there's that great sense, that desire, I want you to know the Lord. I want you to see me walking with him, and I want you to walk with him as well. Bible says he carried Paul and Silas to his own home. He cleaned them up and he treated their wounds. And then he gathered his family around. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. Tell my family what you told me back at the jail. Then the Bible gives us the greatest Father's Day message any of us could hear. And immediately, he and all his family were baptized. And immediately, before the night was over, everything was settled. Now, it doesn't usually happen that way in a family. It doesn't usually happen that the whole family comes to Christ at one time. But that's the desire, is that in God's way and in God's time and at God's call, everybody comes to know Jesus. I'll never forget years ago when I was a youth minister. We had just had one of our 12-year-olds who made a profession of faith in Christ that day. And after the service was done, I was standing over to the side and his mom came over to me and she said, "What a great day." And I said, "It really is great, isn't it?" And she said, "No, you don't understand. Now they're all safe." That was my last one to come to Jesus. Now they're all safe. We understand that, don't we? We understand how we pray and desire and live and witness in such a way as to say, "I want my household to know the Lord. I want my household to walk with Him. I want my family to know and follow Jesus." The Philippian jailer led his family to trust and follow Jesus. And it reminds me that this is that the greatest quality any father can demonstrate is faith. Oh, I know all of us wish we could grab and hold and drag our families to the Lord. If they were a little reluctant, if they were hesitant, if they were resistant, we would love to grab them and just pull them forward. But we can't do that. What can we do? We can know the way and go the way and show the way. To give a faithful witness and an example that says, this is what it's like to follow Christ. This is what it means to trust the Lord and to believe that faith is contagious. A few minutes ago, you were saying to yourself, why in the world did he pick the Philippian jailer? But maybe now you understand. He is a model for every father here this morning. He provided for his family with real commitment. He protected his family and took responsibility. And he led his family to know and to follow Jesus. Faith, the greatest gift we have to give. And men, that's the greatest challenge the Lord gives us all today. Be that man. You see that jailer? You remember his story? Be that man. And lead your family to know and follow Jesus. That's God's call. That's God's commission. Know and follow Jesus. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus. You've never trusted him and you've done your very best and you're still trying as hard as you can, but you're trying to do it without the power of his presence in your life. I challenge you this morning. Don't let this day go by without making the decision to follow Jesus. If you're here and you're not a believer, in a minute we're going to stand and we're going to sing an invitation hymn, and that will be your opportunity to make a decision to follow Christ. I'll be here. I would love to introduce you to the Savior and help you become a believer. Maybe you're here and you're recognizing, you know what? I really need to be serious about my influence upon those who depend the most upon me. Pray for me as I leave my family. Maybe you even need to come and say, pray for me. Maybe you're here today and you need to be a part of this church family because God wants you to plant yourself at First Baptist so you can know Him and follow Him and guide those who love you to know Him as well. Is there a decision that you need to make? We're going to stand in a moment. We're going to sing our invitation hymn. And as we sing, as God's Holy Spirit speaks to you, you come. Let's stand together. Let's sing. Let me invite you to be seated again just for a minute. Vance, join me over here. I was standing here a minute ago and I was thinking, you know, when I first met Vance Hopkins, he was about this tall on me. And now I'm that tall on him. I'm not sure what that means. We're just grateful today Vance Hopkins is coming to bring his letter back from Campbellsville to First Baptist. He's been back this semester and God is using him. He's doing some internship stuff with our youth this summer. And today he comes to say, I'm ready to bring my membership back home again. So if you want to let him know how welcome he is coming back, you just say amen. Amen. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it?
I think so.
We're glad you're back. We love having Vance here. And we're glad his parents got to be here during this special day. And that's great. So glad Joe and Suzanne are with us today. And Joseph, we're glad you're here too. And you're going to want to let Vance know you're glad that God's brought him back to this point. So I'm going to invite y'all to take him back to the lobby. So you can go by and just say, welcome back, Vance. We're glad you're official member of the church again. And that'll be exciting. It's going to be a great day for Father's Day, and we're going to share this time together. Let's stand together. Men, remember to go by and get your gift. Y'all come by and tell Vance you're glad he's part of what God is doing. So y'all go ahead and make your way that way, and we'll have a final prayer and then one last song, and then you go and enjoy time with your fathers. Father, we do thank you for men like this Philippian jailer who discovered how much he needed you and who hungered for his family to know you and who saw you, Father, keep that promise in his life as the household came to be a believing household. So, Father, we just want to pray, help us through our dads and in our lives to honor you, to guide our homes, to be faithful followers. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let them